It is time for another edition of the JMRA Podcast. I am your host, Joe Montana's right arm, as we bring you the Week 10 recap of Sunday action in the National Football League, and a lot to cover. First off, a reminder, you can check us out on the blog, joemontanasrightarm.com, also on Twitter, at joemsrightarm. It was a crazy day of games in the National Football League, and, well, we'll start out in the swamps of New Jersey with the game of the week.
Gostkowski in the staggered stance. Allen turns back to the kicker. Extends the right hand. The snap in the spot. Swing of the right leg. The kick is driven to the uprights. The kick is good! He got it! A game winner, perhaps. 1 second to go. The Pats have the lead by one.
The game is not over.
The Patriots have spilled off the near sideline onto the field to swarm Gostkowski. He is still perfect. He's the franchise's all-time scoring leader. He keeps his consecutive field goal streak alive.
It's why you franchise kickers. You want to talk about clutch? You've had two of the best kickers that we've seen over the last 20 years for this organization. And go back to the New York Giants. I'm telling you, they botched the end of this football game again. That's
right,
third time this year.
New England squeaks by the Giants once for a change. 27-26, thanks to a 54-yard field goal by Steven Gostkowski with 1 second remaining. Gostkowski, I'll tell you what, man, he doesn't get nearly enough credit for being as good as he is. He's the best kicker in the NFL, period. And hitting a kick, a 54-yarder in MetLife with a game on the line, that is, those are some balls. I'll tell you that much. What a performance by Gostkowski to get that done. The Giants overall, I got to tell you, you know, you look back on this if you're a Giants fan and you're going to feel as if you let this one go by the boards. The Giants had so many opportunities to salt this game away. Let's work backwards. First, Landon Collins drops the interception of Tom Brady in the drive that set up the game-winning field goal. He leaped in the air, and when he jumped, he came down with a ball, hit the turf, and then lost the ball. And, you know, it's a bad break for the Giants. Collins had injured himself on the play, which I think in turn caused that ball to come out, and it was a ball that was well underthrown by Brady, and the Patriots extremely lucky that he did not have that pass intercepted. But the crucial aspect of this game is from about 6 minutes on left to go. So the Patriots hit the big pass play to Brandon LaFell in the red zone in Giants territory. Now, at that point, you're thinking, okay, Patriots score here, they can go up 8, and it's going to be, it's not impossible, but it's going to be tough for the Giants to come back. Now, instead of that, you get Blunt scoring on a touchdown and a holding call against center David Andrews that, in relationship to the play, Blunt probably still would have scored. And, unfortunately for the Patriots, they get dropped back 10 yards because of the holding call. And eventually, I believe right after that, they got an illegal contact or legal hands of the face call to set up a first and goal. Then from there, you get Brady throwing the interception at the goal line on a pass that was behind Brandon LaFell. So you get all that, and then the Giants run down the field, and here's where the Giants screwed up dearly. Once again, clock management. They have the ball at the Patriots' 28-yard line with 2:14 left, okay? The Patriots have really, essentially, two timeouts at that point. They have the two-minute warning, and they have a timeout in their back pocket. The Giants ran five plays in 2:14. Four of them were pass plays. Four of them were pass plays. That was outrageous. Outrageous. So by the time all of that happens, the Patriots get the ball back with enough time to put a drive together. And you look at how things played out. I mean, they really didn't have to sweat that final possession at all for the Giants because they did not do enough to take care of the clock. And again, this goes back to week one when they messed up the ordeal with the Cowboys. They couldn't get that situated correctly, and that cost them the game. And here's another situation where you have 2:14 left, the ball at the New England 28. I know you want to try to get a touchdown there. That's obviously what they were aiming for because, to me, you know, they wanted to try to put this game in the bank and not give Brady time to go get a field goal, and that's exactly what they did. They gave him enough time to go get a field goal to win the game, and unfortunately for the Giants, they fall. And on top of that, the Odell Beckham play in the end zone, that's not a catch. That is not a catch. Not a catch. Everyone's like, oh, well, what's a catch if that's not? That is not a catch. He caught the ball, and then as he's bringing the ball down to establish control of things, it got swatted out of his hands. That's not a catch. Not a catch. And I love how the official that's looking right at the play called it a touchdown. That's the problem right now in the NFL. The officials don't know what a catch is until New York gets involved. But that definitely was not a catch. Brady, 334 yards, 2 touchdowns, an interception. Eli Manning, 361 yards and 2 touchdowns. Big day. You look at the stats for Odell Beckham Jr., over 100 yards receiving. However, after he scored the 87-yard touchdown, he was held to just 3 catches for 17 yards. Great job by Malcolm Butler. The big news out of this game, though, the injury to Julian Edelman of the Patriots. They lose another offensive weapon. It looks like he's going to be out until the playoffs at best, as he suffered, from what early estimates say, an injury that is similar to the one suffered by Dez Bryant. That kept Dez Bryant out about 7 weeks. So we'll see if the same holds true for Edelman. If that's the case, you do the quick math on that. If this is a 7-week injury for Edelman, that puts you, he gets the surgery today, which he is getting the surgery on Monday. That will put him probably out until the divisional round of the playoffs. That, by that point, you're looking at having 9 weeks of rest for Edelman. So we'll see what happens there with Edelman in the upcoming weeks as the New England Patriots move to 9-0, still perfect on the year. Somebody who is not perfect, Peyton Manning. Kansas City 29, Denver 13. It's over. It's over. The Peyton Manning era is over. It was already inching towards that. It's over now. I've joked around on the blog and referred to him as Zombie Manning. I know that is a term that Bill Simmons has used a lot. He's not even Zombie Manning anymore because zombies have strength. This guy that is wearing number 18 for the Denver Broncos, no. Manning was 5 of 20 for 35 yards and 4 interceptions. Gary Kubiak took the blame, saying he should have never played him because he had foot and rib injuries. I'm sorry, that's a load of crap. And I get that he is trying to cover for Manning, but if you think for one second that this was the first time that Manning has played with injuries, you're crazy. He did it last year. And he had middling results until he blew up in the Indy game late in the year in the playoffs. Now this, and this is a guy who can't throw, he can't make good decisions. And that's the thing, it's not like, you know, some of these throws are just bad ideas. It's not like it's a physical issue in some cases. He's making just some terrible, terrible decisions. And is Brock Osweiler the answer? No, I don't think so. And John Elway's going to have to deal with this in the offseason because this is a team that's built to win now. And when you're not built to win now and you can't win now, that's a major problem for your organization. So the Broncos are going to have to figure that out. But I think the biggest issue right now is where does Peyton Manning go from here? The Broncos play Chicago on Sunday. They've lost 2 games in a row. And they are probably, I would say, one more loss away from playing themselves out of the bye in the playoffs. That's the way it's looking right now because between what's going on in Cincinnati and New England. Those two teams are 9-0, and even regardless of the physical health right now of the Patriots, the way the Broncos are playing, you'd be hard-pressed to see them getting to that 13-3, 12-4 marker that it looks like it's going to take it easily to even be in a discussion to grab a bye. So very, very tough sledding right now, I think, for the Denver Broncos. And if you're Gary Kubiak, your hands are tied here because, you know, if you put Brock Osweiler in to play, the way the defense has played this year at times, I think it's you're asking a lot to make this really a Super Bowl contending team. But on the flip side of that, how long can you keep going with a guy who has now thrown 9 touchdown passes this season and 17 interceptions? That's terrible. So one of the guys on NFL Network pointed this out yesterday. You know, if this were any other quarterback, how long would you put up with this? And I know it's Peyton Manning, and, you know, we've gotten into this discussion and haven't even mentioned that he set the all-time record for most passing yards in a career yesterday. That was one of the few positives that came out of the performance for him. He is now the all-time leader in passing yardage. You know, it doesn't matter anymore, you know. All this stuff, the records and all that, that's nice, but at the end of the day, you know, when his career is over, it's about what you were able to do in the postseason in part, and also, you know, for him, how is this going to end for him? And it's not going to end well. It's not going to end well. And it's crazy to think this, but, you know, this is it. He cannot come back next year. If you're John Elway, he's got to go. He's got to go. You cannot put him out there again next year. This year, you're stuck. You really are. They almost have to play out the string with him because if he ever were to get hot, I mean, then yeah, you're a legitimate Super Bowl contender. And I think you have to play with the hope that he does get hot at some point. That's the best bet you have, I think, if you're a Broncos fan. Otherwise, this is just, you're done. And one last thing before we change gears here. I mentioned this last week on the blog. I may have mentioned it in the podcast. I don't even remember at this point. The Broncos secondary, okay, cheap shot artists, dirty players. T.J. Ward punched Jeremy Maclin, ejected. I saw the play. I don't think it's as bad as what Aqib Talib did with literally running up to Dwayne Allen last week and poking him in the eye. I don't think it's that bad, but this was pretty bad. You know, he when you look at it, he's falling to the ground and clearly, like, raising his fist to punch him. And now T.J. Ward's like, I wasn't trying to do that. Dude, you're a dirty player. You're a dirty player. That's all there is to it. You are a dirty player. And that's, you know, hopefully he gets suspended for his actions. And the way he submarines guys all the time and hits them low, he should be suspended. Just for that. Karma is not good at this time of year, my man, in the NFL. Jacksonville, 22. Baltimore, 20. Ugh. Finally, the Ravens they're not going to be a part of the playoffs, obviously, but they were showing some signs of life as of late, and I think that has basically ended as of Sunday. The Jaguars pick up their first road win in nearly 2 years. Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns each with a touchdown. They're only a game out of first place, which is crazy, in the AFC South. Jason Myers hit a 53-yard field goal to win it for the Jaguars. The Detroit Lions, 18. The Green Bay Packers, 16. The first win for the Lions in Green Bay since 1991. That is incredible. Matt Stafford, 2 touchdown passes. They won this game despite doing everything nearly in the end to lose it. They get a stop on a 2-point play after the Packers make it 18-16, which shouldn't have even been the case anyways because the Lions went up 18-10 and then missed the extra point. Prater missed 2 extra points on Sunday and almost cost the Lions the game. The Packers have now lost 3 straight, and as a part of that, they get the onside kick after making an 18-16 game. They missed a 2-point play after Davante Adams probably should have caught the ball to make it a tie ball game. They get the onside kick after Calvin Johnson botches it, and then Mason Crosby, it looked like had his 52-yard field goal try, tipped at the line. Now Minnesota in first place in the NFC South. Big trouble in Green Bay. You can't feel good if you're a Packers fan. They have no deep threats. They have no guys who can create separation. That's a major problem for them. Miami 20, Philadelphia 19. Bad loss for the Eagles. They blow a 16-3 lead. The Eagles had played badly during the first quarter of games. Here they played well in the first quarter of a game and then just basically went in the deep end from that point on. Sam Bradford was knocked out of the game with a concussion, also an injury to his shoulder. It looks like an AC joint issue. Some early reports state that he could be out 1 to 3 weeks, which that's going to turn things over to Mark Sanchez, who is a turnover machine, as we saw a little bit yesterday, throwing an interception in the end zone. You can say it was Miles Austin's fault. It looked like it was in part, but Mark Sanchez killed the Eagles last season with turnovers, and it looks like we're headed down that road again. The turning point of this game, perhaps, was Caleb Sturgis. The score was 16-3, and the Eagles had a chance to go up 19-3, and Caleb Sturgis misses a field goal. And then from there, the Dolphins outscored the Eagles 17-3, really took advantage of the mistakes of the Eagles. They outscored them from that point on. As I just said, Tannehill, 2 touchdown passes to give the Dolphins a victory. Steelers 30, Browns 9 in a game where Ben Roethlisberger, oh my God, he is the Hannibal Lecter of the NFL. That man will not go away. 379 yards and 3 touchdowns off the bench. Landry Jones starts, gets injured. Roethlisberger comes in and leads them to victory. Martavius Bryant and Antonio Brown each with 100 yards on the day and 3 touchdowns total. Big win for the Steelers to keep them alive in the playoff hunt. The Bears, 37. The Rams, 13. This is a dreadful loss for the Rams. I think this kills the Rams as far as making a run for the postseason. Both teams now 4-5. The Bears are playing extremely well. Jay Cutler, 258 yards passing, 3 touchdowns. Now, 3 of the 4 Bears wins have come on the road. So the Bears showing some mental toughness here as of late. Like what they're doing. I don't know if they're going to be able to dig out of that bad start that they had, but you can see the difference between John Fox coaching a team and Mark Trestman coaching a team. This is a professional team, it looks like now, in Chicago. Tampa, 10. Dallas, 6. Can we stop saying the Cowboys just need Tony Romo to come back? It doesn't matter. In fact, if anything, I wouldn't bring him back. I know Jerry Jones is Mr. Commerce and all that stuff, so he's not going to tank a season. But what is the point of bringing Tony Romo back to go 8-8, 7-9, or 6-10? To put some fannies in the seats? I guess that's the only reason at this point. Jameis Winston, late touchdown run, gives the Bucks the win. Mike Evans, 126 yards receiving on the day. As I said, Cowboys are dead at 2-7 now. Even though they're still in the divisional race technically, I just can't see with Romo them being able to turn things around and get this done. Matt Castle, interception late, sealed up the game. Dallas just can't run the ball effectively. Darren McFadden, 17 carries, 32 yards on the ground. Carolina, 27. Tennessee, 10. The Panthers are now 9-0. Jonathan Stewart, 91 yards rushing. Cam Newton, 217 yards, a touchdown through the air, and insane dancing skills in the end zone. He did the dab in the end zone in the face of the Titans defense, not once, not twice, but 3 times after just 1 score. You can say what you want about Cam Newton. He's a confident young fella. I don't subscribe to what he does, but I'm feeling him. I do. I feel it. I get what he's trying to do. And the team doesn't mind. At least you would think they wouldn't mind the way that that team seems to certainly believe in Mr. Newton. And now the Panthers firmly entrenched with the top seed in the NFC with a 2-game lead. The Redskins 47, the Saints 14. Nobody's talking about it, but the Redskins are alive and well in the race in the NFC East. They are just a game out of first place. They technically are in second place right now behind the New York Giants. Kirk Cousins, perfect passer rating, 20 of 25, 324 yards and 4 touchdowns. The Redskins gained 514 yards of total offense. They're 4-5, man, and they're lurking in the division race. So this is not a cakewalk for the Giants or for the Eagles, for that matter, to grab the NFC East. The Vikings, 30. The Raiders, 14. Big win for Minnesota to jump into first place in the NFC North. Adrian Peterson, 203 yards rushing and a touchdown. They also got some big plays from the special teams, a couple turnovers as well, forced by the defense to really keep a high-powered Oakland offense in check. That's a good win for Minnesota, no doubt about it. On the road, a week after Bridgewater gets that concussion, he comes back. Wasn't great, but he was serviceable, moved the sticks for the Vikings, and now the Vikings at 7-2. That is hard to believe that Minnesota is now 7-2 on the year. Speaking of 7-2, we'll hit our last game, Arizona 39, Seattle 32. We mentioned teams being done. I'm not going to count out the Seahawks yet at 4-5 because this is a team that has the tools to put together a run, at least the talent to do so. I don't know what they're waiting for. Palmer, 363 yards, 3 TDs, an interception, and a crotch chop of Seattle fans. You want to check that out on the blog. He also turned over the ball 3 times. And look, I get that people are hyping him up as an MVP candidate. Hell, Tom Brady did just about the same yesterday in a win for the Patriots. But I don't see it with Carson Palmer being an MVP candidate. I mean, I guess technically he's going to get some votes. I'm sure he will. But I don't see him being the guy to win that award. He has some weird performances on the road sometimes. I don't feel all that safe with him in big spots. Seattle, 1 of 8 on third downs, and the slow start killed them. I mentioned not believing in Carson Palmer. I'll tell you, you got to give him credit, though. After that game was 29-25 Seattle, the Seahawks had a chance to really, I thought, put their foot on the throat of Arizona, and they let them go right down the field and score to regain the lead. And that was a big, big sticking point of the game. Just a bad job by the Seattle defense. Palmer leads them right down the field to get a score. And from there, the Cardinals win at 39-32. They improved to 7-2, now have a 3-game lead in the NFC West. That will do it for the JMRA podcast. I'm hoping to be back this week, later on this week. Hopefully we can, but we're here every Monday nonetheless, bringing you a recap of Sunday action in the NFL. You can check us out on the blog, joemontanasrightarm.com, and also on Twitter, @joemsrightarm. Until next time, happy football, everybody.